What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About It. My name is Juby Benton, and I am here with my handsome hot.
Oh, wow. Goodness gracious.
Husband.
Why, thank you.
And we're here.
We're here.
We're back.
We're doing it.
We're doing it.
How often do we drop episodes?
We drop episodes every first and third Thursday and Friday of the month.
Just Fridays.
No. On YouTube, it's Thursdays.
Sometimes Thursdays.
Yeah.
I know
what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But yeah, first and third.
Yeah. So I am glad that you guys could join us. We're just probably going to dive right in. I know what I'm excited. I mean, I'm always excited to talk to you guys, but let's be honest, I have a facial booked after this, so I am very excited about that.
Got places to be.
Got faces to take care of. So how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I am. I'm good. You know, last weekend, you know, with my work rotation and everything, you know, serving guest experiences, which is basically, you know, parking.
Yeah.
Greeters, ushers, all that good stuff. Just some things didn't go as planned. And so, you know, you always have to debrief and kind of process, okay, how can we do a better job? I do a better job. And so, you know, some things didn't go as planned, but learning through it. And, you know, I'm here. I enjoy what I do, but even more so, I enjoy who I do it with.
You know what? Little pin, because first of all, I'm kind of uncomfortable right now. So, the last episode, I've had a few. Juby, are you pregnant? Is that why you held a pillow the entire time, hiding your stomach? No. My arms are short, so I can't do this. It's very uncomfortable. So having said that, now that you guys have seen, all right.
Pillow in place.
Yes.
I've noticed that. You do like to sit with pillows is it like an armrest type thing for
you?
Yeah. Okay. I've actually always wondered that. I'm like, why does she always have a pillow in her lap?
Yeah, it's like, because if not, I'm doing this.
Yeah. All good.
So this is like a little nice little prop up thing, you know. However, now that I know, I might just use it, you know.
When you become pregnant. Yeah.
You'll never know.
Oh, man. But no, I'm doing good. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay.
Like, I'm not bad.
Yeah.
Right? Right before I got here, I was talking to Michael on campus.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm just like, everything's good. And he's like, no. And I was just like, oh, we're going to be honest. And he was just like, but God is. And I was like, that's it right there. So I was like, is life life? And he's like, yeah, you know. So life is life, but not in a bad way at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny. Earlier today, I was even thinking, like, man, like, I can still honestly say with everything that's going on and everything that my mind is trying to process and all of that, this is still such a good year. Mm-hmm. Like, I am still in such a good place. God is still good, mm-hmm. you know. Like, I know in the beginning of the year, I'm just like, oh, banner year, you know. Like, it's like that pin in the moment kind of year. And I can honestly still say, despite everything, like, it's still that.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, are there, like, speed bumps along the way? Of course. You know, it's life.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm experiencing some of the speed bumps and just trying to process my way through it and realizing even in that, like, God is faithful and I just need to be attuned to what he's saying. And just, you know, like, I was just sitting in that leadership course and, like, the image that came to my mind was like, I surrender, but like, you know, like kind of like the iPhone, but like with a little I and a big surrender. And I was just like, okay, God, like, despite all of it, like, I still surrender to the plans of what you're doing and what's happening in my life, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm good, but I'm also not good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm not terrible.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, I will see another day, you know?
Yeah. Something I appreciate about Michael is he is honest, but he doesn't do it in a way where it's like it's overbearing.
Right.
You know, where he's like,
we did
putting it on you.
We did talk about starting a complaining life group.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. No, but I love that you got to have that moment when you could just, you know, that you can go up to him and ask, but he feels comfortable enough to just go, no. But God is, you know, he has the no but or the no and right. attitude. And I, that's something
it's kind of like the whole yet will about. I.
Yeah.
You know, that's an attitude that David had, right?
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. God, life sucks. Like, I'm being hunted. People hate me, much to his own doing. But, you know, people hate me. but yet will I praise you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, and I've always wanted to have that attitude. And I feel like this year I've just really get that attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of goes back to the whole discipline thing. You know, like, I had to discipline myself to be like, I can stay in the funk. Mm-hmm. Or I can still be like, God, this aspect of it sucks. This aspect of it's confusing. Like, are you speaking in this area? Yeah, well, I praise you.
So this kind of leads me actually to a question. What, because I think there is a time, I guess, like Ecclesiastes 3, another time for everything, but especially specifically chapter 3, where it talks about there's a time to mourn, there's a time to dance, there's a time to grieve. And so I guess something to kind of ask you, it sounds like you've been learning how to manage this place of how do you know when you can give yourself permission to feel it and grieve it? And then, I guess, where is the line or the point where we go, okay, I'm done. I got to make some movement decisions. How have you been able to kind of manage that lately?
Who was I listening to yesterday? Or maybe it was the day before yesterday. I don't know. But essentially, what they said was like, everything you feel is real.
Mm.
So you acknowledge it, right? It was JJ Barrows, actually. Like, I randomly, she's a comedian. Just, I'm like assuming everyone knows who JJ Barrows is, but she's a comedian in the Christian field. So, very clean comedian. And I ran across like an interview that she did, like randomly. And the thing she said is, the thing that counseling has taught me is that all my feelings are valid.
Mm.
Right? So I now feel all my feelings, but I don't, just because it's valid does not mean I stay there all the entirety of the course.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's giving yourself that permission to say, like, hey, like, this may seem silly, this may seem stupid. And to someone else, it's called the window of tolerance. Everyone's window of tolerance is different. I'm learning a lot. I'm reading this book. Okay,
what does that mean? The window of tolerance. This is good.
I'm so sorry.
You're okay.
So I just started reading this. So, like, I don't have a ton of information I can give you on it.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday when I was reading, it was talking about, everyone has like a window of tolerance, right?
Yeah.
And it's subject to change depending on the, like, where your life is.
Yeah.
So essentially what this writer was saying was, if you feel like, man, I used to be able to handle these things, or like, I can't handle as much as I used to, it's because your window of tolerance has changed because of what you've experienced.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's not to say like your window of tolerance would always stay. At least that's what I hope. I haven't gotten to the end of the chapter yet, but I hope my window of tolerance changed back, you know? Excuse me. But I don't even know why I started talking about window of tolerance.
Well, because I was asking you, being able to, I had my phone, I was trying to search this quote as you said it, but I was asking you, it started off with knowing when to give yourself permission to feel the thing. And then there comes a point equally when we have to know how to press through what we're feeling, and we can't let the feeling basically be a reason or excuse to stay there.
Yeah.
So how do we know when to feel and embrace it? And then it's at some point we got to take action and move past it, like you said, the discipline piece.
So
that's what you're saying, the window of tolerance. What you're saying is you start learning. What I'm hearing is you're learning about yourself based off the season you're in and the season that you came out of.
Right.
And as you're growing, what I'm hearing is what you used to be able to tolerate
it's a little bit more harder for me, and like in so many sense I felt weak for not being able to tolerate as much. Like I literally told my counselors, like, I wish I was oblivious, like I wish I just lived in oblivion, because I was looking at these older pictures and I'm just like, man, look how happy young Juby looks. Like, she had no idea all the things that was underneath the surface of the person that she is, you know.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the Tuesday that you preached at Young Adults, like while we were sitting, no, was it when you were, when we were sitting in worship or when you were preaching, one of the two, like the Lord literally like impressed this picture in my mind of this just lump of clay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, this is how you came at me. Like, this is what you look like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. Like, my throat is like very...
You don't have to apologize.
Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, like, when I came as that lump of clay, I thought I was perfect. Mm-hmm. I thought no changes need to be made. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, this is me. Accept it. Da-da-da. You know, like, there was a lot of things that I didn't see the potential in that lump of clay. Right? I was just like, it's exactly where it needs to be. And he's like... The Lord almost told me, like, I've been molding and shaping you. You know, I've taken that clay and I've molded and I've shaped it. And it's been like, or shaping it. I can't say it's shaped yet. You know, it's shaping.
Right.
And it comes with painful moments because there's times like I haven't done a lot of pottery work, but you know, like I've worked with clay a little bit,
mm-hmm.
where you take tools and you like shave some things off, mm-hmm. and you put like a notch on it and you give it designs, you know? So I feel like when I look at my 20, 19, you know, year old self, it's just like that. I was like, oh man, like look how good she had it. Like, you know? So what used to be my window of tolerance then to what my window of tolerance is now, it feels very short, but I'm just like, okay, this is not where I'm going to be forever.
Yeah.
You know, I am going to get back to a place where I will have a higher window of tolerance. However, in the meantime, like right now, you just need to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've even said, I'm just like, I might be a crier. Like I've never really like, labeled myself as one,
mm-hmm.
and I never liked crying. You know, I was just like, to me personally, crying was a sign of weakness, mm-hmm. you know. But now I'm at the drop of a bucket. I'm, you know, in tears. Like, and it's something as simple as like reciting like a lyric, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'll be like, isn't he holy? Isn't mm-hmm. he worthy? Isn't he beautiful? And I'm like, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just allowing it to happen,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, hey, it is very much so possible that I can get back to my window of tolerance, or I may not. It just, God might be creating a whole new window for me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know if I answered all the question, but yeah, that's just how I am learning. I'm giving myself permission to acknowledge
mm-hmm.
what I feel. What I feel is valid. It is true
right.
because it is happening to me. It may right. not happen to you, but it is happening to me. And because it's happening to me, it is true. However, does not mean I have to stay there.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny you said that because I have my phone. I was trying to find, you know, I keep a notes app. I call it leadership quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a quote that we learned from our friend, Derek. But he said, I was trying to find it because I wanted to be very specific, but he said something along the lines like, just because this is what you've expressed doesn't mean that's the place where you've landed.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said it so, you know, matter of fact, you know,
as Derek does.
Yeah, exactly. he just says it, you know, it's just straight to the point. And he just said again, he's like, bro, it's like, just because that's what you have felt and you're expressing, that doesn't mean it's the landing point.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you've landed there.
Mm-hmm.
Another way of being saying is just because what you're feeling now is a start point doesn't mean it's the end point.
Yeah.
And essentially, that's what you're saying. You've learned to discern that, figure it out.
Learning.
Right, yeah, and learning. And then I do wonder the your window of tolerance. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Window of tolerance.
Oh, okay. What? I was like, why does she keep saying what? I was so confused. Like, why is she speaking a different language right now? I wonder, I know you're still in the process of not just growing in, but learning this concept. I wonder if sometimes it's okay if the window of tolerance is shorter in some areas of life. And what I mean by that is, for example, like, I think as human beings, we should all have a form of level of grace towards people and empathy towards people.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I think it's equally appropriate to know when it starts to become, starts basically kind of going down the people-pleasing route.
Mm-hmm.
And so the things that we have tolerated towards people, may not have been good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder how much of, you know, in some areas we do need to expand our window of tolerance. I guess I'm also wondering in others, we might actually need to, it's a good thing that it's closing. Mm-hmm. Because it starts pointing out in you, you're like, I'm not putting up with that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and this can be with family, this can be with people at the workplace, this can be someone that you've been friends with for years at a time. But I have wondered, you know, as you're talking through the window of tolerance thing, I'm just kind of curious. I'm just verbally processing this out loud with you. I've wondered if, you know, it kind of makes me kind of take a step back and go, you know, there's some areas in life it's actually okay for my window of tolerance to get shorter and, you know, over here, because I want to be a healthier version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that requires me saying no, not just to certain things, but also with certain individuals.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just kind of something that just went through my mind, but I like that window of tolerance kind of helps you to manage this spectrum of I have permission to feel it, and at the same time having enough evidence, feedback, wisdom to know how to press through it.
Yeah.
So that I can allow truth to help me resolve whatever it is that I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Which honestly, essentially, going back to the beginning of our episode, you know, Sunday night feeling I felt personally a little defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially I think is what it was, that language of window of tolerance. So yeah, no, I love that window of tolerance. That's good.
And I was gonna say I can answer that question of if it's okay to have shorter windows of tolerance once I finish the chapter. So you'll just have to wait till I am done. I don't know where the book is. Oh, okay. For anyone who's wondering, it was supposed to be my July read, did not finish it in July. Then I was like, it can be my August read. Did not finish it in August. It is, I will say, it is a very, it's a slow read in a sense that you really want to get it. And it exposes you.
Mm.
There's so many times I felt very raw, vulnerable, and exposed by this book. Because I saw myself in the pages of this book. And I would also highly recommend having a counselor on standby as you're going through the book, only because I do believe it will kind of like unearth some stuff. And depending on where you are, like, again, your window of tolerance where you are may be way higher than where I am currently. So for me, I need someone else to process it with. But anyways, the book is called Try Softer by, I think her name is Andi. It's A-U-N-D-I. Very unique name. Cannot ever remember her last name. But it's on Amazon. I highly recommend it. I think it's really good for, honestly, anyone. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Now, who wants to sponsor me?
This girl stays looking for sponsors.
I'm still looking for sponsors on my Nepal trip.
Hey, oh yeah. Hey guys, we're still going to Nepal. So if y'all feel...
I was
going
to say, we have a hiking backpack into the corner of our living room right now.
And hopefully we're supposed to be releasing some things pretty soon. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. Anyways, I know we've had some good conversations lately, and it's always... So when we're trying to record, it's like, okay, we come in with an agenda-ish, you know, and then we kind of are like, well, whatever happens, happens. But I know one of the things that we really talked about is a conversation you and I recently had about essentially staying the course, right?
I like that. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, staying the course, because we were talking about land navs and military stuff and how, like... how many times you need to check yourself to make sure you're on the right course when you're doing land nav. And then I told you about the airplane that got shot down because it was off course. Like, it wasn't doing anything wrong. It was just off course. Mm-hmm. So we're just sitting there like, oh my gosh, this is like a really good leadership lesson. So that's what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, staying the course.
Yeah. So, so in land nav, when we do a land navigation, you know, course, they'll tell you to find, you know, 3 out of 5 points or 5 out of 8 points. And of course, land nav always includes a map, a compass, and a protractor.
What is a land nav?
So land navigation course essentially is when they bring you out to
the wilderness.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. And they give
AKA
you a map.
Kentucky.
I mean, it could be anywhere, but that's where I did do it. And so essentially they give you 3 or 5 points to grids, I guess you can call them, on the map. You know, it's a plot. That's what the word I was looking for. It's a plot on your map. And you have to go out and find them. Mm-hmm. And they give it to you, you know, with giving you 8-digit coordinates. So you use your protractor to point to circle, you know, or identify, put dots basically on your map where the coordinates are. Of course, you have a compass. Then you have a protractor as well to help you shoot your, what we would call your
azimuth. Shoot your shot.
You could say that too. But you would shoot your azimuth. And azimuth just means direction. So when they say, hey, what's your azimuth? What they're really asking is, what's your degree? What's the direction that you're going? So is your azimuth will be 254 degrees, or is it 30 degrees, or is it 37 degrees? And then you would plan, you know, as to how you navigate to all your different points, okay? And then you also have something else called a pace count. And mm-hmm. So a pace count is every 100 meters. So, like, for example, mine is 68 steps.
68 steps make?
100 meters.
100 meters for you.
Correct.
So keep in mind, everyone's pace count is different.
Yes.
Because your girl's got short legs, so it's probably right. Like 120 for me to right. make. You know.
So what they do is, before you step off to conduct your course, they actually have a lane off to the side that's 100 meters on pavement, mm-hmm. you know, just flat pavement, and then they have what's called an off terrain, which is also 100 meters. And they tell you to walk down and back when you see this sign or whatever that signifies 100 meters. They basically tell you, hey, that's your pace count.
Mm-hmm.
So for some people, if you're taller, they might be like 58 or 61. If they're shorter, like you said, it might be 74 or 78. So everyone has a different pace count,
mm-hmm.
but you're still walking 100 meters.
Right.
But you have to know what your pace count is. So,
right.
for example, if I'm going from point A to point B might be 500 meters. Basically for me to find my first point.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I'm walking, and you walk normal. So like, this isn't like a power walk thing, whatever. You know, like the goal is that you walk normal, because whatever number of steps you have, once you hit that 100 meters, that's your pace count. And it's every left foot. And so before you leave, the point is you know where your points are. You have, assuming you've done your planning route, as we would call it, so you know what your azimuths are, meaning you know what your direction and degrees are, you know what your pace count is, right? And so, of course, you use your compass to see how many degrees you have. You know, you hold it up to your chest. There's different methods to do it, but you look up. And oftentimes, when you first do a land nav, what people typically do is, I know it's a long analogy, but roll with me. I promise it's worth it. What typically people do when you're first doing it is they shoot their azimuth or their degree, you know, and so it says 240 degrees. And they go, sweet, 400 meters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they walk the entire 400 all the way to look for their point. Remind you, you're going through bushes, 20. Trees, exactly, yeah. all that stuff. And so going back to the beginning, when you did your pace count, you also do an off-terrain pace count.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that because the number, so for example, 68 for me on just smooth pavement, I think it's 72 or 74 for me on off terrain. Okay. But I verify it every single time I do it, just to be sure, because it might change. And so if I'm navigating through terrain, then I have to use my off terrain pace count. If I'm now, you can also do what's called where you basically can kind of go around the course, where you're kind of using the hard roads. And then once you get to a certain point, you use your compass, like, okay, from here, it's only 100 meters in, or mm-hmm. 170 meters in. And so there's ways to do that as well. But my point is, I have to be mindful of what my pace count is before I step off,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the analogy, sometimes people shoot their azimuth, and they just walk the whole 400, hoping to find their point, and they miss it so many times. And what happens is, they didn't reorient to their compass.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that they teach us in land nav is, if you have walked a certain number of meters that mm-hmm. you calculated, and if you recognize that you get to that point, so let's just say again, from point A to B, it's supposed to be 400 meters. I've walked my 400 meters. They say, if you don't see any of your points, you know, maybe walk another 10 to 20 paces to see if it's around. And if you don't have it, here's the rule of thumb they tell you. You have to walk back to a known point.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, when you look back on your map, what's something on your map that you know if you went there, that's a solid reference point.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, the reason why people typically miss their points, if they just shoot their azimuth one time or sometimes mm-hmm. twice, is simply because they didn't stop in between to relook at their compass to make sure that they were on track.
Yeah.
And so as we were just talking with our friends, it just made me think, like, how often do we do that in life with the Lord? Like, the Lord actually gave us clear direction. We start making movement, right? We have a pace count. And here's why I love the pace count concept. Your pace count ain't going to be my pace count. And it's the same thing in life.
Right, right.
But we're still walking 100 meters.
Yeah.
Right? So the Lord gives us direction. He gives us guidance. Oftentimes, he's very clear as to where it is he wants us to go. But because we only checked in with them one time, we just keep going.
Yeah.
And so what's supposed to happen, the further out it is, they actually tell you the trick that I learned from my first sergeant major. He said, what you do is, next time you shoot your azimuth, he said, have your eyes locate on something that's fixed within that. So I know it sounds crazy. There's a lot of trees. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a certain tree that you know to look for that lines up with your direction. And he said, keep your eyes locked on that thing. Once you get there, he said, reorient your compass.
That's not like silly at all. But I remember when we lived in Tennessee, like all along I-24, it's lined with trees. Mm-hmm. So I remember when I first moved there, it was such a new concept to me because I'm so used to driving from one city to the other and just it being lined up with buildings. So I always knew where I was. I'm just like, oh, that building means I'm halfway there, or like that building means I'm close. So I remember like my brother, you know, he came to visit us one year. And he jokingly goes, he's like, well, get acquainted with the trees. You know, he was just all like,
remember that.
Yeah, you better start giving the trees names and, you know, specific things so you know exactly where you are. So, right. Like, to me, that's not silly because I feel like we've had to really do that.
Right, actually do that. Yeah. Well, because here's what his point is. He was saying, if you can line up your direction with something you can physically get eyes on, once you get there, though, he says, you have to reorient your compass and shoot your azimuth again. You know what happens? I'm going to say 7-8 times out of 10. This is what ends up happening. Look, I have my compass up to my chest, and guess what I have to do? I have to rotate just slightly to the right. Or I have to rotate slightly to the left. Why is this a big deal? Because usually people miss their point when they're doing land nav, not because they were going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
They were only off by 1 or 2 degrees. And it makes me think, when you think through the concept of life, lots of times the thing that the Lord has placed in front of us and he's told us to move forward to walk in, we think that we've gone in a complete opposite direction. It just made me start thinking when I was thinking through the concept of land nav. Granted, you have some people, we're walking total 180s. That's a repentance issue. Yeah. That's a total separate thing. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying it's just a separate thing. Mm-hmm. But there are other times, and I'm realizing, talking specifically now to believers, people who have been walking with the Lord, I wonder, are we missing out on where God is guiding us? Not because we're actually headed in the wrong direction, but we just missed it by 1 or 2 degrees. And we have that attitude. We go, well, I'm only slightly off.
Right. I was going to say, so that 1 or 2 degrees literally could be the detriment.
Correct. Well, and here's the thing. We don't see that at the beginning, because if I'm going from here just across the street, you're right. 1 to 2 degrees is not a lot.
Yeah.
From if my azimuth is 240 degrees and I shoot 239, but I'm only walking 50 meters, I'm probably going to hit my target.
Yeah.
But if my azimuth is 240 and I have 400 meters, 1 degree, literally.
Over the course of that 400.
1 degree over the course of 400 will make me completely, I won't say completely, but it will make me miss my point.
Yeah.
So going back to reorienting, to the advice of my sergeant major, the reason why you stop every so often is because you got to look back at the compass and make sure, like, hey, let me just shift 1 or 2 degrees back center. I can't tell you how many times I get 50, 70, 100, 120 meters in, and every time I put my compass back up, it's just a small shift like this.
Yeah.
I adjust my body to the left or to the right, and it just makes me go, how many of us, is it possible that maybe you're missing out on where the Lord has taken you simply because you stopped reorienting to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's our compass.
And literally, it is life or death. I know earlier I mentioned about this whole airplane thing, because when he was telling me about the whole land nav course, because as long as you've been in the military, you've told me about many land navs you did, and I'm just like, I just don't understand what's so complicated about it. Like, and I didn't know the details of land nav literally till we had that conversation like 2 weeks ago. And I was all like, oh my gosh, like, okay, I see how that's possible now, right?
Why people fail it.
Yeah. And I started thinking about this airplane that, you know, took off, and the pilots weren't really, I guess, paying attention to the compass. And literally, they were just a degree off, right? And over the course of time, it actually put them in enemy airspace territory.
Dang.
Which meant that plane got shot down and every single person passed away.
Wow.
Just because human error.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of stopping to check.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So at first, like when you talk about it, it's just like, okay, how does this apply to me? But when you realize this is literally life or death,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just in like your spiritual walk, but literally in your everyday walk,
mm-hmm.
if you don't stop to check, man, where am I right now? Like, what is God telling me? You know, and spending that time in stillness and quietness and learning like, okay, what is God telling me right now?
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny, like, when I just left class, like, I've been praying over the weekend for something very specific, and I'm just like, hard deadline, God, I need an answer by Sunday. And then Sunday comes by, and I'm just like, man, I don't feel pulled in one direction or the other,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And old me would be like, I'm not rechecking the compass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to drop it, right? But every day since then, I've said, I was like, Lord, I haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten.
Mm.
I need you to like give me a definite. And I was like,
you're reorienting to your compass.
Yeah. I was like, I need you to give me a definite.
Mm-hmm.
And until I know it's a definite, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not making a move till I know this is a definite.
Mm-hmm.
And kid you not, like while I was sitting in class right now, like very still small, it's just like, I don't think right now is the time. And I was like, that's not the answer I wanted. I was like, no. I was like, can we go back and
right, right.
Like, you know. Yeah. And so it like that's why it matters,
mm-hmm.
you know, to stop every step of the way and saying, like, I am not gonna forget to check my compass.
Yeah.
Where am I? You know, am I stewarding what I have well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I paying attention to the signs around me?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like very easy to be like, okay, guys, that's great, you know, yeah. but like, how does that apply to me? Like,
well, here's the other thing too, going back to your point, let's just say you feel like you're in a place that you shouldn't be in right now. And you know that, because here's the deal. We also know when when you're lost.
Especially when I see a snake and I'm like, I should not be here. I was not meant to be here.
That does happen in my math. But you know when you're lost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's funny how, you know when you haven't found the point, but you equally know when you haven't found it. And if you haven't, going back to the feedback of my first sergeant major, go back to a known point. Mm-hmm. So what's a known point in your life that you need to go back to?
Yeah.
Like, what if you know that you're lost, and maybe you're not, for some of you, you might be lost. Same thing, you still got to go back to a known point. For some of you, you may not be lost, you might just be slightly off. But what is the known point? Another way of saying it is, maybe what's the last thing that you know the Holy Spirit told you to do, and have you actually gone back to that with what he said? I don't have my physical Bible. It feels weird not having a physical Bible, but glad I remembered it.
I was going to say, mine is right there, but it's mine. I know you like yours.
It's all good. But so Psalm 139, we've said this before, but I kind of want to break it down just a little bit. It's Psalm 139, and it's specifically starting in verse 23. So it's towards the end of it. The whole psalm is worth the read. But
the whole psalm is worthless. And I was like, oh, wow. We have strong feelings about 139, don't we?
But I've honestly been implementing these specific two verses, babe, more often the past 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So let's just kind of break this down real quick. Like, the first one says, search me, O God, and know. That's not a prayer that that we like to pray. Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, usually it's, okay, God, search me, but I hope you don't find anything. No, it's,
search me and give me $1 million.
Right. You know, but it's so easy to go, like, God, search me, but I hope you don't find anything. Instead of, God, I'm feeling a certain way, just like you said earlier. and I need you to search my heart.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to carry this. Right? So it's the invite to say, search me, oh God. It's, I'm inviting you into my inner person, my whole self, my conscience, my thoughts, my emotion, my sentiment, my understanding. I'm inviting you.
My giving, my taking.
Correct.
Yeah.
The whole nine yards. God, search me and know my heart. And then it says, test me and know my anxious thoughts, which assumes that, guess what? We get to come to the Lord with anxiousness. If you have anxiousness or doubt or concerns, I mean, that's literally what you were saying. You're like, Lord, I'm not moving until you give me something clear. You just said, Lord, test me and know my anxious thought. You brought it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a prayer that reorients us, that helps us check in on our internal spiritual compass. And then after, it goes on to say, point out anything in me that offends you. Another way of saying it is, what is in me? So this assumes there's something there. What is in me, Lord, that is causing a gap or divide between you and I right now? Because here's the deal. You will miss out on the point or the place the Lord is trying to take you if you're not rechecking and reorienting yourself back to him. And then after, it goes on to say, and then lead me along the path of everlasting life. Which assumes that where the Lord is guiding you is a path of life that's everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
And so this prayer has essentially kind of been my Holy Spirit moral compass moment.
Mm-hmm.
When I find myself just feeling off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, the funny thing is, the more I do it, I'm actually doing it quicker now. Like, I think many of us just keep going. We don't like to reorient because sometimes we might have these false beliefs of like, I'm bothering God, or we think it's too silly to bring to the Lord, or it's also hard because it requires vulnerability.
Yeah.
It requires openness, which I understand. And the bigger thing is this too. It takes humility. It takes, when you're doing land nav and you miss it, you know, you've walked your 300, 400, 500 meters, whatever, and it ain't there. You're like, especially when you're in teams.
Right.
It takes a lot of humility to go, at some point, someone has to say, guys, we got to go back then.
Yeah.
Like, someone has to take the next step, be bold, be a good leader,
mm-hmm.
and go, hey, guys, we missed it. And sometimes I missed it.
Yeah.
Let's go back to this. I know this point over here, because this part is right here on the map. Let's go back here and reshoot the azimuth. And let's stop every 20 meters now. And here's the deal. Ooh, this is a Holy Spirit moment. The thicker the terrain, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more I got to stop.
Mm.
So the thicker the assignment the Lord's given you, you have to stop more often.
Yeah.
So it's very easy. If I'm shooting my asthma and it's 200 meters of clearness, yeah, I can just walk straight on through. I can see this obvious tree from point A to B because it's just open field.
Yeah.
But if it's 200 meters and it's nothing but trees and shrubs and bushes, I got to reorient a lot more.
Yeah.
And so many, so the assignment or the thing the Lord has placed on your life, the thicker and the more deep, the more challenging that places dense, he's taking yeah. you, right, and dense, requires you to stop more.
Yeah.
So the once a week, guys, if you're just doing church once a week, that ain't enough. And it shouldn't be enough in the first place.
Right.
Right? But there have been times where, like, I have to do 2 a days.
Yeah.
Or 3 a days.
Once a week equates to us talking on Sundays.
Yes.
And expecting our relationship to function.
Yes.
Properly.
Correct.
No, actually, not even properly, like,
I'm barely decent. Surviving. It's not even a survive. It's like, I'll barely get
yeah.
there.
You yeah. know what? Mark and I connected on Sunday, and I'll see him next Sunday.
Correct.
We're sharing the exact same space, but yeah, it doesn't matter. We've already connected.
The terrain, the path in which the Lord has called you absolutely determines how often you need to spend time with him and reorient yourself. There are kind of like what you said. Sometimes not even a season. It's just a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, or it's just one of those weird weeks. But here's the deal. You sense it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by, like, you know when you're lost. And that, so another way of saying is, you know when you're off. When I'm doing land nav, I know when I'm off path.
Yeah.
And in the same sense, your body, your mind, same physically. Like, you and I work out 4 or 5 times a week. We've had that rhythm very well together for the past 3-4 months now. We've been doing really good on that. And even in that, there are times where we have our moments where we go, well,
six months.
this has been 6 months for you. Mm-hmm. Good job. And so we have that moment where we wake up in the morning. We're like, ooh, I might need to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't mean we don't work out.
Yeah.
We still move. Yeah. We change the game. We change the plan.
Yeah.
So that we can still hit our goal, you know, of being healthy, whatever it is that looks like. I'm saying all that to say, like, it's so interesting how it's the exact same in the physical world, but we don't apply that same logic when it comes to our mental space or emotional space or our spiritual space.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I'm just thankful the Lord, like, brought that to mind. Like, every land of course I've done, the thicker and more dense it is, I have to reorient even more.
Yeah.
I don't get the luxury of waiting 100 meters to reorient my compass.
Yeah.
I got to reorient every 10 to 20. And so the thicker, the heavier the assignment or the vision or the dream the Lord has given you, you need to reorient more to the Holy Spirit as often as need be. And there's no such thing as too much.
Yeah.
As if you can.
You need to rely on that thing.
The Lord. Right.
Yeah. You need to rely on your compass to be like, this is what's going to get me through.
100%.
So great talk. Hand claps all around. But it's land nav for certain people right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's night land nav for others.
Don't get me started on night land nav.
Right? The moon is barely shining.
Yep.
I mean, you don't know your left and your right.
Yeah.
And they're like, Mark, I think I lost my point.
Mm.
So what is something logical, practical that they can do right now? They're in the thick of it, and they're just like, I don't know where I am. I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do?
Yeah. The first one I would say is move into a posture of worship. And I mean, I get it. Worship is a lifestyle. You know,
so that's a known point.
It is a known point. Absolutely. And when I say worship, I'm willing to bet there's a song that everyone always has a song stuck in their head in that season. Mm-hmm. Like we always do. And even if it's not, it doesn't have to be new. It can be something old that you've heard 5, 10, 20 years ago, whatever. But there's a song that you're probably thinking about,
mm-hmm.
you know? Whatever that song is, go to that song and just sit and actually sing to it. Like, worship with it. Worship the Lord to that song. Well, Mark, what if I don't feel like it? That's not what I asked you to do.
Yeah.
So this is the part, going back to the beginning of our conversation, this is where I need you to push past the feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. You felt it? I feel like you and I have been very clear throughout multiple episodes. You have permission to feel everything. But once you've done it, guys, at some point, we need to push past what we feel. Matter of fact, I would say the more you don't feel like it is all the more reason, is the same moment you need to push into the worship more. 100%.
Or just in life, period. Correct. My God.
So I would say the first thing is center yourself in the Lord. You need to center your mind, heart, and soul by worship. And the reason why I say worship first is worship gets your eyes back on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to be in worry, fear, or doubt, whatever that thing you're feeling, when your eyes completely on you. Hebrews 12. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses mm-hmm. in which we're living this life of faith. So let us strip off every weight that holds us down,
mm-hmm.
as well as the sin that so easily trips us up. We do this by fixing their eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he's the author, the finisher, the perfecter, the founder of our faith. Worship is the quickest way to implement Hebrews 12 and 1 too. It's the quickest way. So just start worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
And don't get out of it until you know your soul has been settled.
Mm-hmm.
So you might hear the song one time, you're good. You might need to hear it two or three times. All right? There might be a worship playlist that you guys have right now.
I know I do.
Yeah, likewise. Like, yeah. There's just, by the way, go to YouTube
beautiful
Legacy
name.
Nashville. That is a beautiful name. YouTube Legacy Nashville when you can. They have a whole thing called Prayer Room. That I put that on regular.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, pretty much every Saturday morning when I walk into the living room, that's what's playing is a Prayer Room.
And every week they just do weekly drops, just 1 hour of just, and it's acoustic. It's just piano and pads or just guitar. And it's very, very simple. It's 1 hour. Just YouTube Legacy Nashville and go to the Prayer Room. It has like blue thumbnails, basically. All of them are great. If you don't know where to start, just start there. And so number one, I would say worship. And then number two, and the reason why I say worship, because you've gotten your eyes on Jesus and you've fixed your heart, your mind, and soul on him, now it postures your heart to be open
mm-hmm.
and let it out. So share anything and everything that's on your mind And once you've done that, I would say number three, that's when you pray Psalm 139, verse 23. And be slow about it.
Yeah.
Invite the Holy Spirit into this. And the more you do this, the quicker actually you'll be able to get into it. It's pretty amazing. Sometimes it might take you as long as 10 or 15 minutes. There have been other times, I kid you not, it's been 1 minute. I was playing the keys earlier today because we were prepping for our deacon meeting and wanted to do worship. Instead of just playing like a track, I was like, you know, it's like I'll brush off my... I haven't played piano in a long time.
The giftings the Lord has blessed him with.
Well, we don't have one in our apartment because, you know, it's just too small. It's in storage. So, but I started playing and I'm messing around with one of the songs and I was practicing Majesty and I came out of it. I just started playing the chords just as is. And I was like, let's just kind of see where this goes. At this point, I'm not even practicing. I'm just kind of worshiping mm-hmm. now with the Lord. And on my own, just the song, Thank You. I'm Maverick City just came to mind.
Mm.
And so I just started playing, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I'm so grateful. And I, as I sang again the second time, I couldn't get it out.
Mm.
Kind of like what you said. And I'm getting emotional just thinking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Because in that
the
moment.
The lump in your throat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Because it's like, man, I never want to forget the goodness of God. And so, Lord, I just thank you. You know, and I just stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And my point is, as you're doing this, whether it's through worship or stillness, give yourself permission to stay in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I promise the Holy Spirit's going to move, man. He's already moving. He's always moving. But we need to slow down long enough, reorient ourselves to pay attention to it. When you're doing land nav, no one who's great at it just goes boom, 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 and they take off. They look at where their points are at. They start paying attention to the maps and the roads, and they're looking at what to do and where to go, and then they give themselves permission to stand still before they take off for the next step and keep moving in that direction.
That was an airplane in the background, guys. Sorry.
It sounded like a truck in the background.
Oh, no, that was
an
airplane.
We live by one of the busiest streets. We apologize. but I would say those, off the top of my mind, those are it. If you feel like you're in the thick of it right now, like you said, Nightland Nav per se. First thing, worship. And don't get out of it until you know your mind's completely fixed mm-hmm. on Jesus. Hebrews 12 mindset. Second thing, let it out before the Lord.
I was going to say, one of the things that helps me in worship, like I know they're just like, you know, close your eyes, be in the moment. But I actually like keeping my eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because at churches usually, like they'll have the lyrics
mm-hmm.
up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, but reading the lyrics is like a gut punch for me personally. So maybe even going to YouTube and like putting out a worship set that like has the lyrics just kind of flowing, you know, because yeah. they're, 'cause I get to a point when I'll ask myself, like, do you believe this?
Yeah.
Or are you just singing it? And I think that's where like that gut punch comes in, because I'm just like, and then there are times I'm just like, oh, I didn't even know that's what I was singing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow.
Especially when you realize the verse or lyric you're singing is a verse like yeah. right out of the scripture, you know, and just because it just increases your confidence.
Right.
You know, so no, that's great. I love that.
Yeah.
And again, Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, let it be a prayer. I literally look at it and I read it as a prayer, and I slow down and search me, okay, God, and I look at it as a step by step, truly, because everyone wants to get to the part where it's you'll lead me to everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a process though to get mm-hmm. to that.
There's a surgery that happens before.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not introspective surgery.
Yeah.
It's let the Holy Spirit. John 16, Jesus says the Holy Spirit is your advocate. Let him advocate for you.
Yeah.
Another version says comforter, counselor, helper, comforter.
You want that comforter.
Let the Holy Spirit comfort you. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Let the Holy Spirit counsel you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. He's all of those things. Stop, which will probably be the last thing, and I think that's in every step. Stop trying to do it on your own. That's the difference with land nav. When we have all those tests and everything like that, mm-hmm. especially those badges that we need to get, it's an individual event. Not in life.
Well, it is an individual event, but you have resources that help you along the way.
Correct. You do have resources that help you along the way.
So, what I'm saying is pointing the compass.
Right, right.
You know,
what I'm saying is the difference is you have someone in this case in life. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So why as Christians would you not use the greatest resource of all time?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Felt it.
Well, guys, this concludes our conversation.
I feel like it was good.
Yeah.
I really, really, really like to think that
this we are. I feel like you got it all out of your system.
I feel like I got it all out of my system. Okay. Too. I feel like the Lord gave like additional parts too. I was like, oh, I didn't know I was going to say that.
Okay.
And I know you're going to ask
so
that.
So we're going to feel good about this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to feel good.
Go get a compass, you guys.
That's actually probably not something bad to have like in the background. It's just like, Holy Spirit, activate. I was waiting for you to say it. I thought you were going to say it. Want to close this out?
No.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the show. If you guys like this podcast, go ahead and please leave us a review on Apple and or Spotify. And please post in the comments on our YouTube channel, all right? Thank you for our subscribers. We love you guys. If you guys got any questions too, feel free to leave them in the comments or check out our website, markkbenton2.com. We need to get a new domain name called markandjuby.com.
You guys, we kind of want to rebrand, period.
We actually have been thinking about that.
And you know what? Like, we would totally take suggestions from you guys because there is a lot of Let's Talk About It podcasts. Like, literally, I just came back from, like, a meeting / course / class, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it. And the girl was like, I couldn't find you. There's a lot of Let's Talk About It. And I'm just like, yeah, I know.
Just search our name.
Yeah. And so we've been talking now probably close to a year about just rebranding, but we just haven't settled on anything. But if you guys have any ideas.
For real.
Drop it.
Yes.
In the comment section.
And seriously, share this. Like, for real, if this has been beneficial for you guys, share it. Tag us too on Instagram at Juby, not Judy. At mark.k.benton2. We love to hear from you guys. And thanks so much for joining us today. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Right on.
Yeah.
Love y'all. Take care.
Bye.